I have a great aunt, Marita. Marita discovers the water slide. A German pair in a black one-piece with a two-layer skirt to cover some of her 78 years. She doesn't know how to go forward, sitting at the top of the black tunnel. Loyal died 2 months ago, and maybe he nudges her from the beyond, or the buildup of water behind her finally lifts her into the unknown. When they first met 61 years before the Parkinson's one, he lifeguarded at Crab Orchard Lake. She took off her red cap when she walked by so he'd see her auburn hair, which is now as white as the sand on the beach that day. He couldn't figure out what to say. He whooped like a crane, then looked away to pretend he didn't feel an explosion. She smiled, but today she whoops and wails as the black water surrounds her and turns her down and around through tears and years, then laughter. She sees their beach that summer. Loyal skims into the water to save her from her parents, from all the boys from Paducah to Carbondale, and from any other nights alone. They swooned under Kentucky's sky for 61 years, and now she springs from the hole, goes under alone, comes up baptized as the crowd hears only the echo of her screams. She listens only to her Holy Ghost whooping back across the clear water. He still knows what to say. Marita, you're Fifth Avenue. The hunter, my father, pops two shots at a young buck from too far. His marine hands motion for me to march the pasture and stand on the ridge in case the buck comes back. At the edge, overlooking a brown brush valley, I spot the deer stopping 30 feet, no more, down the embankment. He stares at me as if to say, I know why we're here. But when I pull my first shot, which smokes up the dirt behind him, he doesn't run. I want to run. We're both too young for decisions that might save us. He takes two steps, his black hole eyes on me, my breath held, my fingers shaking, my cheek tight against the slick wood of the rifle that slew dozens of deer long before I was born. I pull the trigger again, and the buck takes two more steps, then drops, chest first, his back legs holding firm in a brief argument with fate. I want my father to be here, to say, good shot, or well done, so I won't feel the heaving breaths of the dying deer. I approach, my legs stutter in two-step groups. My father doesn't come. The deer doesn't die, and I don't know what to do except hold my gun to the space behind the buck's deep eye. I tug the trigger, hoping the soft chest will stop rising, compressing the air around us as if to steal my breath with each of his last. The buck doesn't die until a fifth desperate shot finds something important in the throat. I drive the head and chest. He kicks once and settles in the dirt. Above my buck's body, I sway, nauseous. An ugly warrior, hoping a father won't see the mess I've made, the mess I've become. Has anyone here ever been to the Andy Warhol Museum? Young poet and an Amish man in the Andy Warhol Museum. Don't stand with your back to the art, the perky volunteer, her glasses down on her nose, said to the students in a horseshoe around her as she stood, her back to the Campbell's soup, claiming she knew how to respect the art. A kid in New York City put his gum on a painting so we don't allow... I couldn't hear anymore when the Amish man bent down at the pink square electric chair. I wanted to see his face, but I settled for the reflection of a bearded smile on a silver cloud Mylar balloon. I wanted to see him at White Burning Car, to remember my artsy high school teacher flipping through yellowed slides, bemoaning the state of art. The Amish man ignored most of the silver, but stopped long enough to find the falling man in Suicide, Silver Jumping Man. Truth be told, I wanted a poem. The Amish man was leaving as I entered the front doors. Maybe he'd wept at the portraits of Jews. Maybe the Brillo pads or the Jesus punching bags gave him pause.